We have a fascinating sugi here in terms of just how a few lines in the Gemara, really even one line in the Gemara, yields a whole slew of interpretations which give a number of different positions la halacha, but all of them are helpful towards rounding out a picture of where our responsibilities start and end. So where exactly is there a chiyuv, under what circumstances? Under what circumstances is something called a grama? Under what circumstances is there a chiyuv latzeis de shemayim? And when is there not even that? So just to try to, in a summary way, to kind of include all the opinions and to see how they fit in. So we have a statement in the Mishnah that we have responsibilities as far as locking up animals and what could happen if it's not locked up. And our Gemara talks about a situation here in the bottom of Ninhei Mibayis in Vav Amud Aleph where you can have a Ptur B'dinei Adam but a Chiyuv B'dinei Shemayim. And that one of these circumstances is if you break the gate of your chaver. So allowing his animal to escape. In that situation, there is a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim, but not b'dinei adam. So the Gemara asks, well, why is there not a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim? One would have thought that you're breaking a fence. That should constitute a straight-out hezek. And the Gemara draws this distinction and says that if it was a shtarka fence, if it was a kosel bari, so then indeed that would be a chiyuv b'dei shamayim b'dei adam, apparently. So we have to assume that we're talking about a shvach fence, about a kosel ra'ua, and that's why there's a p'tur b'dinei adam, but there's still a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim. And there are, say, three different views in the Rishonim as to what we're talking about. Where is it that that distinction is relevant? That a shvach fence, you are pater b'dinei adam, b'chai b'dinei shamayim, for what purposes, for what case, what are we talking about? So Tosfos over here is a little bit confusingly written. It's helpful to see. Did you get a chance to see the Rush? The Rush is written in a much simpler fashion. Essentially, he says the same thing, but is written in a much more direct way. Sometimes that's the Rush in the beginning of the sixth part, in the beginning of Akonis, where he basically tells you that essentially we're talking about the wall, but we're talking about the wall and about the animal. That first, Tosva starts off saying we've got to be talking about the wall, because if we're talking about the animal, so then that's just a grumma. To break the fence and to let the animal out, so that's just a grumma now. Grumma is chayiv b'dinei shamayim, perhaps. That's the main point, maybe, of this whole passage. But even if it was a shtarka wall, that would be the case. So to say that our Gemara doesn't work if it's a shtark wall, then we can't be talking about the animal. Because it's going to be a grumma either way, a shtark wall or a shvach wall. So therefore, the pressure on the Gemara to say that it's talking about a shvach wall comes from the fact that we are talking about the wall itself, about the chiyuv on the wall. Because if it was a shtarka wall, then it would have been chiyuv b'dinei shamayim, but not for the animal, because that would have been a grama. And the shvach wall, that distinction is only relevant, therefore, because we're talking about the wall specifically. And he notes that some svarim have the word kosel in the language. And you can see that yourself if you look at the Rif. The Rif puts that in the actual language of his version of the Gemara.
What are we saying? The Rush says?
The Rush says the same thing as Tosfos is saying. So this is what we're saying. So we'll get to it. We're first explaining Tosfos, but the Rush just says it in simple language. But basically, this is the position that if we were talking about a kosel bari, so then what would the story have been? That for the wall, you would have been chayiv b'dinei Adam, and on the behemoth, it still would have been a grama. So the strength of the wall is only significant, really, for looking at the chiyuv of the wall. Not really the behemoth. Once we say that you're only chayiv v'dei shamayim, and we say that we're talking about a shvach wall, so then you're chayiv for the wall only b'dinei shamayim. And now what about the behemoth? So as far as the behemoth, the Tosfos says they're also your chayiv b'dei shamayim at most. And that's a crucial point that we didn't really focus on yesterday. That really Tosfos says you shouldn't be chayiv even b'dinei shamayim on the wall. If it was shtark, you'd be chayiv b'dinei adam. If it's going to collapse, then you shouldn't be chayiv at all. It should be either or. But when we're talking about the chiyuv b'dei shamayim, now we're really talking about both together. So the chiyuv b'dei shamayim is really for the behema, which was a grama, so that's why it's only b'dei shamayim. And the wall, you're probably not really chayiv for at all. However, the Rush here fills in the sentence, and Tosfos and Sanhedrin adds this point also. But here the Rush again is just a much easier read, that you could say that you're chayiv b'dinei shamayim for the kosel also, even though it's shvach. How? Because you did cause some kind of a loss to this guy. Because even though the wall had to come down.
This is Tosfos?
Yeah, this is the Rush explaining Tosfos. It's consistent with Tosfos. This Tosfos doesn't spell it out. Tosfos and Sanhedrin says it all clear. This Tosfos is a little challenging to read easily. But Tosfos, all Tosfos here says is that really it's not so shayach that you're chayiv at all for the wall. Because the wall, if we say it's coming down, so you shouldn't be chayiv at all. So the Rush fills in that it could be that there's a chiyuv for the wall on some level, b'dei neshamayim, and the Pilpul HaCharifta fills out the Rush a little bit more. That maybe the scenario is that, yes, this guy had to take down his wall. But it wasn't mamish urgent. It didn't have to be today. He could have waited till next week to take down the wall. And because you knocked down his wall today, so now if he doesn't rebuild the wall today, he's going to have no wall for a week. And maybe his animal will actually escape. There'll be other kind of consequences. So he needs to rebuild the wall. And because you forced him to do it on your schedule, maybe the workers are not available as easily. And maybe now they know that he's in a rush. And had he said, okay, I'll take down my wall next week and I'll have it rebuilt, he could have gotten a normal rate. But because you broke his wall today and now he's going to have it rebuilt today, that's going to cause him some extra expenses. So maybe that's the scenario where, again, it's a grama, so you're not chayiv b'dinei adam, but you're chayiv b'dinei shamayim. Shmuley, do you have a question?
So the expenses that you're paying for, as in the expediting the process, that's
b'dinei shamayim. B'dinei shamayim, because although we'll see there may be other opinions about this, but what the Rush is saying is basically saying, why you chayiv at all for a shvach wall? If a shvach wall is going to fall anyway, so we should have one extreme or the other. If it was a shtark wall, you should be chayiv b'dinei adam, the whole shebang. If it's going to fall down, so then don't be chayiv on any level. So to that, the Rush explains, again, Tosfos doesn't really explain it here, but the Rush explains a little bit that, no, there is something that you did to this guy, because even though his wall was essentially worthless, but you caused him a greater expense in the way you did it, because had he been able to take it down on his own schedule, and we'll assume that that was also consistent with public safety, it was on its way down, but it wasn't necessarily something that had to happen today. So if he could have waited till next week, he could have done it in a more affordable fashion. But now you broke his wall today, and he can't be without a wall because he's got animals and stuff, so he's got to do something. So now he's going to have to urgently fix it, and to urgently fix it, we know when you have the plumbing problem at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night, it's much more expensive than if you have it at a normal work hour. So maybe that's the kind of scenario that happened to this guy. And that's why there's a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim. Hi.
I'm wondering if we could connect that at all to what we were suggesting a little bit yesterday, that the chor, it seems like that even though it was a kol teruah, it was still effective. It was keeping the animal in.
Yeah, it had some value to him. You know, it just was destined to be destroyed, but it's not worthless to the owner, at least, which is a point we're going to come back to. So that's the view of Tosfos and the Rush and a few other Rishonim. And it seems like this view is basically, for its own implications, basically accepted by Poskim as well, Sma for one, that essentially when we're talking about the wall itself, that as far as the wall is concerned, if it's a stark wall, you're chayiv b'dinei adam. If it's a shvach wall, you're basically putter. But if there are some expenses that are relevant to the owner, so then there could be a chayiv b'dinei shamayim to cover those expenses that you may have been responsible for. So far, so good? Okay, so the Ra'ah, it's quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes, the Ra'ah understands differently, and the Ra'ah understands that the main issue here is the behema. And that's different from this view of Tosfos, because basically what the Ra'ah is saying is that if the wall was stark, if it was a coastal bari, so then you would have been chayiv for the behema, and that the distinction is relevant to that question, which Tosfos had said is just a grama. So apparently the Ra'ah disagrees. Hi.
Just a question on that Rush's, on the Rush's point. We said you need to pay for the wall, but that's a chayiv b'dei shamayim.
Right.
Then what would be the how is that different than being chayiv? If you're
chayav
to make a payment, isn't that a
chayav b'dei? Oh, so that's what we talked about last week, about what does it mean to be chayav letzos l'dei shamayim. So chayav letzos l'dei shamayim generally does mean a payment. It means the question of how binding is that obligation? Is it something that the other party can be toface? Is it something that is considered to have standing for the victim? There are all kinds of other questions. Are you puzzle aidus because of it? But on the opening point, it is a chayav of payment. So now the position of the Ra'ah is that we're talking about the behema. So regarding the behema, if you break the wall and let the behema go, so then if it was a stark wall, you'd be chayiv b'dinei adam against Tosfos. And if it's a shvach wall, you're only chayiv b'dinei shamayim. So what's the difference between the two? It seems to be likelihood that when you break down a stark wall, it had very little chance of letting the animal escape, and now there's a pretty definite chance the animal is going to escape. While if it was a shvach wall, so then the odds of the animal escaping were much higher, and you didn't really change it that much. You changed it a little bit, because maybe there was still a 10% chance it would have withheld, and now it's definitely going to go. So should be chayiv b'dinei shamayim because you did something. But the damage was already significantly enough done that you're not chayiv b'dinei adam. But to say you are chayiv b'dinei adam and that it's not just a grama if the wall was stark, so that is against what we just saw in Tosfos. And that's a machlokas rishonim. And the Ramah paskins l'kula on this question. That your potter. The Ramban in his Sefer Dina de Garmi, and the Ramban has a separate kuntras on all these unyanim of what's grama, what's garmi, so he brings the two deis on this, on whether this would be called something that you would be chaya for. And essentially, the issue at stake is how much is it bari hazek, how much is there a definite loss here that is going to ensue from having broken this fence. Okay, so far so good? Okay, so that gives us two major positions here. Now, the third major position is the Rambam. And the Rambam is significant in all kinds of directions. The Rambam is characteristically influential in a lot of different things. So here, the position that he takes is significant for itself, and it's significant also for the other two possibilities. So the Rambam's position is that we are talking about the nizkei behema. If the animal does nezek to other things, so the liability here is contingent on the circumstances. that if there was a stark fence and you made all the difference in breaking the fence, you are liable for what the animal does afterwards. And if it wasn't really you because the fence was shvach, so then your liability is only b'dei shamayim. So this has all kinds of implications. First of all, let's work backwards. So what does it say about the other two concerns? So let's say about the behemah itself, right? So we saw a minute ago that it's a machlokas whether you're liable for the behemah if the behemah gets lost. So what would the Rambam hold about that? Question about that? Or?
Could you just repeat the Rambam sheet a little bit?
The Rambam sheet is that when you set this animal free by opening up the gate, so the chiyuv that we're talking about, b'dei adam, b'dei shamayim, if it's shtark, if it's not shtark, we're talking about the hezek that the animal does to other things, the nizkei behema.
How is that different? What did the Ramah say?
The Ramah, we just mentioned in Paschim Lekul on a different question. The Ra'ah, is that what you wanted the second?
No, the Ra'ah was the first.
The Rav was the second opinion, right? To review, the first opinion is Tosfos, that we're talking primarily about the wall. But when we talk about a chiyuv v'dei shamayim, so then there's that, it's also going to be true for the animal too. And the Ra'ah's opinion is that we're talking primarily about the animal, so there would be a chiyuv v'dei adam if it was a stark wall. Which Tosfos disagreed. Tosfos said we're only talking about B'dinei Shamayim here, because it's going to be a grama. So the Rambam says the third thing, we're talking about the damage the animal does. And that damage that the animal does is going to be apparently a full-fledged chiyuv if the wall was stark. Yeah?
So it's supposed to think that B'dinei Shamayim has been primarily on the wall, right?
It's primarily on the animal, actually. The whole discussion starts off with the wall.
Yeah.
But the reason it's primarily on the animal, because this is the scenario where you're going to have a chiyuv v'dei shamayim for the wall is pretty unlikely. Because since the wall is basically done for, you didn't really do anything, which is to say you're putter completely.
Yeah.
And then the Rush explains, well, no, because you still caused this guy some expenses. Right. So it comes out that it's about, the chiyuv v'dei shamayim is about both.
The Rush says he first brings it up from the animal. He says that you'd be chiyuv v'dei shamayim on the animal, but not on the wall, because the wall's going to be destroyed. And he says, well, you nominate the wall also because of it last couple of days.
That's the Rush's thing.
Correct.
Yeah, correct. So the Rambam says we're talking here about the damage that the animal does, a third possibility here. So there's a lot that has to be figured out about that Rambam. Because first of all, we have to talk about what its implications are for itself, so we'll push that off to the end for a second. But what about the previous two scenarios? What does it imply about the previous two scenarios? So first of all, what about the second position that we're wondering about, the liability for the animal itself? We saw that was a machlokas. So the Beis Yosef assumes that it's a kal v'chomer for the Rambam. That if the Rambam thinks you're responsible, if you break down a shtark wall, you're responsible for damage that the animal does to someone else, to a third party, then kal v'chomer, the animal itself, is your problem. So if something happens to the animal, then for sure you're chayiv for that, according to the Rambam. That's how the Beis Yosef understands. Yeah, that if the Rambam says that you break down a wall that was shtark, you made all the difference here. So then you are liable, b'dinei adam, for what this animal does to other people. So then Beis Yosef says, kal v'chomer, you're liable for the protection of the animal itself. If the animal gets lost through this, so then, I think the Rambam would say that you are chayv. Which we had seen till now was the machlokas. That's how he understands the Rambam. Now,
Rambam himself says that he doesn't say that. I mean, we understood.
Yeah, it's a kal v'chomer, according to Beis Yosef. Right, it's a kal v'chomer, that if we're saying that the Rambam's opinion, it seems to be the most extreme. Right, if we think about, we're talking about what would have happened if it was a stark fence. If we just look at that column, what would the story be if it was a stark fence? So there we see a through a machlokas. Right? According to Tosfos, you're chayiv b'dinei adam only for the fence itself that you broke. According to the Ra'ah, for sure you're chayiv for the fence. He didn't address it. Sure, you're chayiv for the fence because you broke a valuable item, so for sure you're chayiv for that. But you're also chayiv for the animal that escapes because of the fence. And according to the Rambam, apparently you'd be chayiv for all of them. For the fence, and for the animal itself, and for the damage that it does. So it's the most extreme of the opinion.
Meaning that when the Rambam says chayiv v'deishamayim, you're chayiv for all three.
And we chayiv v'dei adam, the scenario where you would have been chayiv v'dei adam, right? The Gemara says...
He says patur b'dei.
Yeah, because we assume that we're talking about a shvach fence. But when the Gemara said that if we've been talking about a shtark fence, it's what makes this hard to follow all the havaminas and the maskanas. But the question is, the Gemara says, had it been a shtark fence, and this isn't just hypothetical, because essentially that's a halachic position, right? That the Gemara says, not just hypothetically, but practically, that in the case of a shtark fence, you're chayiv b'dinei adam. And so that sentence, even though it's presented as a havamina that's rejected in the Gemara, it's still a maskana and its implications. So that line, Ilema Bakosal Bari Bidini Adam Nami Nechayev, that's a rejected Okimta, but it reflects then an actual halachic conclusion that if there is a stark fence, you're Chayev Bidini Adam. So what are we talking about? According to Tosfos, we're just talking about the wall itself, but nothing beyond that. According to the Ra'ah, the wall itself for sure, but also the animal that escapes because of the wall. And according to the Rambam, like the Beis Yosef says, presumably all three. The wall itself, the animal that escapes because of the wall, and anything else that gets damaged by the animal that escaped because of the wall, you're chayiv for all of those. So it's also noted by the Sma, that the Sma thinks that the Rambam would also say that for a kosel that is shvach, it says that you have to assume that you'd be chayiv b'dinei adam also for the kosel, even for a shvach kosel. And that the next line with the kimta that we follow, that we're talking about a case with a shvach kosel, you're only chayiv b'dei shamayim. So the Rambam says, yeah, you're only chayiv b'dei shamayim for the damage that the animal does. But for the kosel itself, you'd be chayiv for fully.
That's a hard read.
It's not from the language of the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, just to clarify. So if you saw, I think I put this on the list, if you saw the Migdal Oz over there. So the Migdal Oz quotes the Tshuvas HaRambam, which is really the basis for this. But more, you might still be right, because it's still an arguable read, even with the Tshuvas HaRambam. Because just to explain this, the Tshuvas HaRambam, he writes, to explain his position that we're talking about the nezakim of the animal. So the Rambam writes, why do the other Rishonim think that we're talking about the wall? If you're talking about the wall itself, then it doesn't matter whether it's a shtark wall or a shvach wall. You should be chayiv midinei adam either way. Okay, a shvach wall is worth less than a shtark wall, but it's worth something. So whatever it's worth, that's what you should be chayiv for.
He thinks that the Gemara is on the... When it says,
well, the Gemara makes this distinction. It's talking about the damage that the animal does. Yeah, because it doesn't make sense to make this distinction into the wall, because, okay, a shvach item, you know, a used item is worth less than a new item, but so then whatever it's worth, that's what you pay. Do you have a question about that?
The question on the Sma.
Yeah.
So according to the Sma, then he says that your the Chayav Bidei Shamayim is going on the damage of the animal.
Right. According to the Rambam, the Sma based on the Rambam.
The Sma based on the Rambam. Right. But when it comes to the Kotel Tzachim Bichai fully,
no matter what kind of fence it is.
Right. No matter what the fence, what would he say then about the animal itself?
The Rambam?
What's the Sma?
So presumably, like the Beis Yosef, that the animal itself, you're chayiv, and the distinction of shtark and shvach is still relevant. That for a shtark fence, you're chayiv fully for the animal, and for a shvach fence, it's a grama. But he would say that the Rambam's point, based on the Rambam in the Tshuvas that the Migdal Oz quotes, is that if we're looking at the wall itself, then it doesn't matter whether it's shtark or shvach. Because, yes, that affects the value, but whatever the value is, that's what you should pay.
But it's not a kavachomer.
No, it's not a kavachomer. It's a different point. He's saying that he doesn't understand. The Rambam writes, he doesn't understand why it is that the other Rishonim are making this distinction based on strong or shvach. That's the Gemara's distinction, but the Rambam says it's not talking about the wall. It's talking about the damage the animal does. When it comes to the wall, it doesn't matter. Okay, walls are stronger, walls are weaker, they're better, they're worse. But Lamaisa, it's worth something.
So by a shvach kotel,
mm-hmm.
Rambam would say,
"Yechayev b'dinei adam."
In
the wall's value.
What about the animal itself?
The animal itself. So that's where the distinction is relevant. That if it's stark, you're only yechayev b'dinei adam, and if it's shvach, yechayev only b'dinei shemayim. Because the Gemara makes that distinction. The question is, what's it talking about? So the Rambam says the distinction in the Gemara is talking about the animal, the damage that the animal does.
If it's a
shvach wall,
then therefore kavachomer yibichay v'di shemayim for the animal itself. Maybe I would say
yibichay for
even b'de adam for the animal itself.
Yeah.
Because it's more
if it's a shtark wall.
Even if it's a shvach wall.
Shvach wall is harder. If it's a shvach wall, then that distinction is still going to be there. Because the Gemara says somebody is off the hook b'dini adam for a shvach wall. So you can't say a kal v'chomer that way because it's a dio problem. You keep making it more. You know, the Gemara says that, according to the Rambam, the Gemara says that you are pater b'dini adam if it's a shvach wall and the damage of the animal does. So you can't say a kal v'chomer, you're chay b'dini shamayim and chay b'dini adam. You can't do both. You can only do a kal v'chomer for what it is. You can't make it more chomer. Mm-hmm. So in any event, so the Rambam's position about the wall itself, that there is a chiyuv bidei adam for even a shvach wall, so that's the Sma's reading of his comment in the Tshuvas. And others question that because they say, why is that so clear? Why is that so necessarily the case? Maybe, yes, it's true that you're chayiv to pay for an item that's worth something, even if it's used and it's only worth a little. But here, the point is, this is different than a used item that's worth half as much. The point is that it's maybe worth nothing. If it's supposed to be destroyed, then it has no value at all. So why is the Rambam objecting to that? So maybe, indeed, if it's worth nothing, then you shouldn't have to pay anything. So some suggest there's a discussion about this in the back of the Sefer Mishpat HaMazik in the Miluim, where he has an essay about this, a short essay about this, that maybe this goes to the Rush's point. That he said that the Rush writes that let's say there's a scenario where the wall has to come down either way. But you did make a difference to this guy because you ended up costing him the extra fee for the workers who have to work today. So if that's the case, so the Rush had said, you're chayiv day shamayim for that. And Tosfos had said, maybe you wouldn't be chayiv anything without coming up with that scenario. So the only scenario where you're chayiv anything for breaking a shvach wall, according to the Rush, is if you cost him some delay, or it's going to cost them some extra expenses because you had to do it in an emergency way. So maybe that's what the Rambam's talking about. That in that case, where you're causing an expense to the owner, that Rishonim, such as the Rush, will say you're still Pater B'dinei Adam, that's a grama. And the Rambam will say, no, you're Chayiv B'dinei Adam on that. And this actually ties in, he doesn't really make this point fully, if I recall correctly, in the Mishpat HaMazik, but this ties in to our earlier discussions earlier in the year, if you recall, about sentimental value. How do we assess the hezek? How do we assess the cost of a hezek? So do we only use, like some achronim say, do we only use the value of something that is sold in the store? Sold in the market? Or do we also assess if there is replacement costs? Even if it's not necessarily valid. Remember, for example, we talked about, let's say somebody's mazik prescription eyeglasses. So you can't really sell prescription eyeglasses for too much on the marketplace. No one's interested in buying somebody else's prescription. But it's a big hezek to the owner because he's going to have to replace them, and that's going to cost him a lot of money. So that could be the issue here. Right? That if somebody is mazik an item that you have, that essentially it's worthless because it's old and it's going to break soon and nobody would buy it for anything because they might as well just buy a new one. So essentially you wouldn't be able to sell it for parts even. You wouldn't be able to sell it for anything in the shuk. But it's expensive to you because right now it's holding your house together, it's holding your car together, and if somebody were to break it, you're going to have to pay a lot to get a new one. So how do we look at the Chiyuv Nezek? Do we look at it as simply whatever the item sells for in the shuk, that's the only barometer? Or do we say that if there is a cost to you, so then the cost to the victim, that should be used to figure out the Nezek? So that might be the issue here, that maybe the Rambam is saying that in a Hanami, if we're just talking about a reduced value item, the other Rishonim would agree that yes, you have to pay whatever that reduced value is. So there's a chi of nezek for any item that has any value, even if it's less than a new item. But what we're talking about here is where it won't sell for anything in the shuk. Your mostly broken fence that is just barely holding in your animals for another week, you would not be able to get anything for that in the marketplace. But it costs you to lose it, because now you're going to have to replace it today rather than next week. So that's like somebody breaking your prescription eyeglasses. So that's what we saw was a machlokas. Should that be something you can make the mazik pay for? So maybe that's the Rambam's position here. It's a very interesting implication. Anyway, those last two points were basically secondary points about how the Rambam's position affects the other issues here. But what about the main position? Everyone else would assume that letting this animal go and the animal causing damage to other people, that's already a grama. And yet, the Rambam is mechayiv. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like the Rambam, by the way. So why is he mechayiv? So here, just to say very quickly, because we're almost out of time, but there's a lot of literature on this, just so you're aware. So, to mention just the most prominent possibilities, we talked about last semester about Grama and Garmi and the practicalities of the two. So first of all, it could be that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch basically hold for all intents and purposes that Grama ben Azikin is Chayiv. That's a machlokus in the Gemara. And that, like we saw Rashi on our daf, right, Rashi emphasizes that this whole sugya is going according to a Shita. Right, the Rashi in the bottom of Nenhei Amid Bey is Pater Medine Adam Kasavar Grama Ben Azikin Pater, as if to emphasize that, you know, this is a machlokas. So the Rambam might just hold Grama Ben Azikin is basically Chayiv, and therefore, yeah, it's a Grama, but doesn't matter, you're Chayiv anyway. Alternatively, and there's a lot of literature about this, so we saw that there is a distinction between Garmi and Grama, that sometimes there is a level on which you are a Chayiv, even if it's basically causational. So maybe the Rambam understands this to be Garmi. So some understand the language of the Rambam to mean that when are you chayev for a causational situation? If you meant for it to happen. And especially if you understand it's the knas. So then we calibrate that knas based on intent. So some understand that to be the Rambam's point, that if you're trying to cause havoc by doing this, so then, that's where you have a chiyuv because of garmi. And they use that to explain, because the Mishnah, it sounds like, is against the Rambam, like we mentioned yesterday, right? That if the listim break the fence, so then they're not necessarily chayiv for what the behemoth does. Unless they davka direct it out, then they have to do more in order to be chayiv than just breaking the fence. So it could be, the issue is, are they trying to just break the fence, or are they trying to wreak further havoc with the animal? that if all they did was break the fence because they wanted to break the fence, then it wouldn't necessarily be a chiyuv as far as the animal. So that's what the Mishnah means. But if they did it in a way, they davka want to cause damage with the animal. So then the Rambam would say, that's what we're talking about, and that's where there is a chiyuv. Just want to add one last point, because again, we're trying to reflect on what are the implications for moral responsibility and for enforceable responsibility. So I saw something like this in the Rishima Shiurim of Salvechik. I'm not sure if this is exactly his whole point or not, but maybe this is something to reflect on. But or this is just, I think, the first part of it I saw in the Rishima Shiurim. But essentially, if we say that, let's say with the Kosel Ra'ua, let's just take the simplest version. Let's say we're talking about the fence itself. So we say, if you're mazik, a shtark fence, you're chayiv b'dinei adam, and a shvach fence, you are chayiv b'dinei shamayim. So we've always been interested in figuring out what makes you putter and b'dinei adam, or what makes you chayiv at all, even b'dinei shamayim. So it could be that the distinction we've talked about also in the first Zman, when we talked about, let's say, with the valuable stamps and things like that, that do we focus on hezek to an item, or do we focus on actual monetary impact of a hezek? Right? That was an issue we talked about a lot. So it could be that in order to be chayiv b'dinei adam, l'maisa, it's got to be about the monetary impact. So they're only going to charge you if you inflicted actual monetary difference. So if the fence is going down one way or another, so then l'maisa, you don't have a chayiv b'dinei adam, because it didn't make a difference to the bank account of the guy who owns the fence. But l'maisa hezek is still wrong even without monetary impact. So if somebody damages somebody else's thing, that's still an aveira. So because it's still an aveira, it makes sense that there should still be a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim, which correlates to having done something wrong, even if it doesn't qualify fully midinei mazik. So that would work very well, theoretically, to focus on those different possibilities, that the full-fledged chiyuv is going to come when there actually is a monetary impact on the bialim, but there'll still be a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim, because you still did an aveira if you're going to go around being mazik people's stuff, even if you think you're off the hook because he can't actually bill you for anything. But that's still an aveira, and that's where we have a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim.
Hi. Chiyuv b'dinei shamayim is still some form of payment. It's not like you do tshuva or kapara or something like that, you still have to.
Well, that's an interesting question. It might be both. It might be that you still have to do tshuva. We talked about that also earlier in the year, about the role of tshuva together with payment when it comes to nezikin. So it could be that
if it's not a monetary loss, then like if you're really not causing a loss, so it could be a shaman, what are you?
So it could be that it really is a tshuva, and then you'll have to calibrate exactly what the value is, because presumably, like we mentioned earlier today, that it seems that let's say Sudei Shemayim does mean a payment of some kind. Right. How do you calibrate the payment? That would probably come out differently. So I know we said a lot of complicated things today and squeezed it into some small space. So just to try to quickly review what we spoke about and try to hit all the major points. So we saw that the Gemara draws a distinction between a shtark wall, where there is a chiyuv b'dinei adam, and a shvach wall where there is a chiyuv only b'dei shamayim. And we saw at least three different ways of understanding that distinction, that according to Tosfos and the Rush, I would recommend looking at the Rush as the simplest presentation of it. Tosfos is presented in a complicated way. But the basic position is that the tzad that you'd be chayiv b'dinei adam if it was a shtark wall, so that is only about the kosel. And you wouldn't be chayiv b'dinei adam on the behema no matter what, because it's a grama. And once we're talking about a shvach wall, and we're talking about a chiyuv b'dei shamayim, that's about both the wall and the animal. And really more about the animal than the wall, because in most scenarios we shouldn't be chayiv anything for the wall, because it's destined to go down anyway. And the Rush says, well, maybe there's a scenario where you would be chayiv b'dinei shamayim for the wall too, if you inflicted a cost to the owner, because now he has to fix it on an emergency basis. That was the first view. And that's basically accepted the halacha in most of its parts. And then we discussed the second view, the ra'ah, that we are talking about the animal's loss itself, and that apparently if it's a shtark wall, you're chayiv b'dinei adam for that animal, against Tosfos. And that lahalacha was the machlokas, and the Ramban brought two days about that, and it depends on the level of bari hazeka as the defining factor. And the Rama paskin lakula on that, that you were putter on the animal itself. The Rambam had the third interpretation, that we're talking about the damage the animal does. And so if we look only at the column of Bedine Adam, when it's a stark wall Bedine Adam, we see that the shittas get more and more intense. That according to Tosfos, you're only chayiv on the wall Bedine Adam, you're never chayiv on the other things Bedine Adam. According to the Ra'ah, you'd be chayiv on the wall and on the animal itself. And according to the Rambam, apparently all three. That you'd be chayiv for the wall, for sure, according to everybody. You're chayiv on the damage the animal does. So Kal v'chomer says the Beis Yosef for the animal itself. And then the Rambam's implications for the first opinion, according to the wall, the Sma says actually even more on that front also, because according to the Rambam, you're chayiv b'dinei Adam even for a shvach wall. And he says that based on how the Rambam expresses himself in the Tshuvas, where the Rambam says, when it comes to the wall, we can't be talking about that because it doesn't matter, even if it's a shvach wall, so you pay for the lower value. So the Achronim explain that, no, the other Rishonim understand that if it's worth something, then you pay that. But the question is, it seems like it's worth nothing because it's destined to be destroyed. So maybe that's the issue. If we use the Rush's scenario where the wall is worth nothing, but it inflicts a cost on the owner because now he's got to fix it in an emergency basis instead of waiting till his own schedule. So the Rush says you're chayiv b'dinei shamayim for that. Maybe the Rambam says you're chayiv b'dinei adam for that. And that maybe the question is the issue that we discussed earlier in the year: do we calibrate hezek based on the item's value in the marketplace, where there's no value here? So that's why the Rush says only b'dinei shamayim. Or do we calibrate it based on the replacement cost to the owner, where there is some aspect of a replacement cost, and maybe that's why the Rambam says we do look at that also, and that's a chiyuv even b'dinei adam. And as far as the Rambam's position itself, it seems to be saying that Yechayev, what everyone else calls a grama, so what do we do with that? So how come he's saying Yechayev on that level, and the Shulchan Aruch says that too? So it could be that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch actually hold that grama b'nezikin is chayev, it's possible. Or it could be that this is a garmi situation. And if it's a garmi situation, there are many different explanations of why this would be called garmi specifically. We only mentioned really one, that maybe this reflects a kavana to do damage, and maybe that's the key factor. If you're trying to hurt, then we continue even on a grama situation. And that could also explain why the Mishnah discusses a situation where even listim would be patur here, because maybe the listim are not trying to do damage with the animal, they're only trying to break the fence so it doesn't make the threshold for garmi. And then we just mentioned this last point, that, let's say, going back to the wall or anything like that, that if we say that you are chayiv b'dinei adam when it's strong, and you are patur b'dinei, and you're patur b'dinei adam and chayiv b'dinei shamayim when it's shvach, so what is the distinction between the b'dinei adam and b'dinei shamayim there? So maybe the distinction is the chakira we spoke about earlier in the year is the issue, the hefsed to the bailim, or is the issue being mazik something, as we saw from the very beginning, that there are different components of the whole process. So maybe you can only have a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim if there is an actual loss to the bailim. That's the only way you can actually bill someone. But there's still an avera to damage things, even if it's not going to actually inflict monetary impact. And therefore, because it's usur, so then there's a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim because it's still an avera involved. Okay, a lot of major implications of the sugya. God willing, again, Pesach for tomorrow. And then after Yontif, we'll start trying to marathon a few other topics in Hakonos. All right, everyone should have a wonderful day. Hopefully, I will see you.